Wonderful. Well, great to be here. Warm welcome to you all. And we have been looking at our mission and vision and values. Kind of just started a new series recently. What is our mission? Together on a mission. And so I want to, last week we talked about looking back at some of the prophetic words that we have had over us as a church in the 9 years that we've been here in Edinburgh. And it's always good to reflect back, isn't it? When you're on a journey, you need to be looking forward. But every now and again, you need to have a look in your rearview mirror, you know, what's going on behind you, so that you actually, the journey in front of you is also smooth. And but we can draw courage in our journey together as a church, as we reflect on what God has spoken over our lives. And so if you weren't around last week, I'd encourage you to listen to that message from last week. I highlighted four things that God has spoken to us over the years. Firstly, about being a community that are called to preach and share the gospel in Edinburgh and into Europe. Secondly, that God has called us to be a people of passion, and we highlighted a particular word that God spoke over us as a church about 6 or 7 years ago, and was depicted in this banner that's on the floor here. And we had two beautiful ladies who held up the banner, and we saw a picture of that prophetic word about the fire of God going out of us as a community through the city and into the nation, a people of passion. And we talked about, thirdly, being a house of kindness, releasing the goodness and kindness of God through our lives to others in the community and beyond. And finally, we talked about how God brought us to this facility and how God spoke prophetically over a number of years about us being rooted in the community and reaching out into the city. And so I want to move forward this morning and just talk about something of our vision as we look into the future. What do we see? And so if you like, this is our vision at 3CI part 2, the church that we see. And you may have noticed either on the banner outside or perhaps if you were very observant that on that glass panel in the foyer, there's a brief description of our vision. And our vision is to be a vibrant, Christ-centered family church transforming neighborhoods and nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ to the glory of God. And I want to just unpack that a little bit this morning as we look into the future. And then a bit later we're going to look at some faith goals, if you like, in the short term, that we're looking at over the next 12 months. But vision's very important. It describes something of where we are headed to. I don't know about you, but I don't feel particularly confident if I get into an aeroplane and then I'm told over the tannoy that there's a pilot here, but he doesn't know exactly where he's heading to. You know, if I'm going on holiday, I need to know I'm going to get to where I'm going, and I need to know my luggage is going to arrive there too. And so vision is very important. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, without vision, people perish. Without vision, people cast off restraint. Some versions of the Bible say, without vision, people just run wild. Vision brings a sense of purpose to a people, brings a sense of unity and continuity. And so revelation and vision is very important. So this is part of our vision, to be a vibrant, Christ-centered family church transforming neighborhoods and nations with the gospel of Christ to the glory of God. And I'm just going to unpack some of that this morning. Firstly, what does it mean to be vibrant? Vibrant. The church we see is constantly growing and full of life. It is growing numerically, but is also spiritually deep. sometimes we can get the impression that churches are growing in numbers, but the depth is a little bit shallow. But when we look at the book of Acts, we see a church where multiplication and maturity go hand in hand, yeah? Where there's growth in numbers because the life of Jesus is being released, but there's also people putting down their roots in Jesus Christ, growing in faith and abounding in thanksgiving. There's a sense of being rooted in the life of Jesus. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the latter part of it, Jesus kind of defines his purpose for coming from heaven to earth. And this is what he says. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to release life in terms of quality of life and quantity of life. And if you read through John's gospel, you see that he identifies himself time and time again as the life. Yeah, he said, I am the life, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection and the life. Everything about Jesus is life-giving. Amen. Yeah? And so when we come together on a Sunday morning, we come to celebrate the life. Yeah? That's what we're doing today. We're celebrating life. He's given us real life. He's given us abundant life. He's given us a greater quality of life. He's given us eternal life. And so, as a church, when we come together on Sunday, we celebrate life. On a Thursday, when in small groups, we call them life groups because we come to do life together. We come to share life together in a real way. It's the nuts and bolts of where we can open up our hearts to each other. We can be real with one another. We can say how things are going, and we can share the life of Christ together in community. It's where we do life together. It's been just so amazing to see something of the journey that Zari and Amanda have gone through in the last 10 months or so. Some of the challenges, and they've just been so open in those life groups that we've been part of. But in that openness in the journey, we do life together. We pray for one another. We share around the word together. We encourage people from the word. We lift our eyes up towards Jesus, who is the life giver. And we see people being more rooted in the life, growing in Christ, growing in faith. And yeah, we just hear testimonies like we heard this morning as that life is released. And so we celebrate the life on Sundays. We do life together in small groups. But 24/7, we want to be a community that is releasing the life. Yeah? The purpose of receiving the life is to give it away. Yeah? So vibrant means full of. And if a vessel is full of something, it overflows. It releases. It goes out. So one of our statements on the banner outside is, you'll see right across the top there, is that we want to be a community releasing the life, giving that life away. Just turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. One of my many favorite verses in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Because God wants you and I to be full of life and to be then his free samples to the world. You know, if in times past, when a company was wanting to sell a product, they would often market it by people going knocking on doors, going to your door, and in order to encourage you to take that product, whether it was a perfume or whether it was some kind of food or whatever it was, they would encourage you to take it, a free sample, to take it for a certain amount of time so that you might enjoy it and then buy some more of it. Yeah? In other words, taste of it or use it, spray it on your body or whatever, and you think, oh, I really like this, I'm going to get some more of it. Well, you and I are God's free samples to the world. We're his free life samples. We're his free perfume samples for the ladies. We're his free burger samples for the men, whatever, food samples. We are to be samples of the life, that when people see us, are around us, we can say, actually, I want more of that. And so 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, Paul says, "Now thanks be to God, who always, always leads us in triumph in Christ." How can that be? That he always leads us. Always, Paul says. Now, Paul was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was beaten by robbers. He gives an account of that in 2 Corinthians 12. He went through many trials and heartaches. And yet he says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Why? Because he had a life in him that was resurrection life. You know, it's like a ping pong ball trying to press it down underwater. It just keeps on coming up. It just keeps on coming up. It keeps on coming up. It's irrepressible. You can't depress it. You can't suppress it. The life of God. He's broken the grave. He's broken every chain. And that life, friends, when you and I are born again, when we repent of our sin, turn to Jesus, put our faith in Christ, and ask him to come into our lives, that life that we receive is miraculous life in the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. And Paul says, "Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph." He gives us that overcoming life. "And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Wow. Amazing verse. In every place. In other words, every place, Roy, where you set your feet this week, as we walk full of the Holy Spirit, the fragrance of Jesus is being diffused through your life to everybody in your sphere of influence. Now, I asked my daughter yesterday, she's just got her exam results, and one of the subjects that she's done is biology. So I asked her, I wanted to kind of freshen up on my memory, because I did chemistry many years ago. And my sister-in-law calls me a comical ginger beer. I was actually a chemical engineer. Okay. But I asked Lorna, what does this word diffusion mean? And she gave me the definition. Diffusion means particles from a higher concentration going to a lower concentration until you have equilibrium. Yeah, through kind of higher concentration to a lower concentration until you have equilibrium. Paul says, "Through us diffuses the fragrance of Christ and his knowledge in every place." What is that saying to us? That we have a higher concentration of life. Our life, the life of Christ, is higher than any other form of life. In fact, outside of Jesus, there's nothing but death. Inside of Jesus, there's nothing but life. And his life has come into our lives, and he wants it to pervade so that others come out of death into life. Are you with me? It's the fragrance of Jesus. You and I are God's free samples. And so God, the church we see, is a church that is teeming with life, is numerically large and spiritually deep, is celebrating the life of God, is doing life together one-on-one around in coffee shops, small groups on a Thursday, during the week as a lifestyle, where we are bringing people into our homes, where we are getting into other people's homes, and we are breaking bread together, we are having company together. Remember what that word company means? Com is in Latin means with. Pani is where we get our word panini from. It means bread. Company is with bread. So every time we have bread together, share food together, break bread together, we're just in each other's company. We are sharing life together in Christ. It's a 24/7 thing, a lifestyle. And it all revolves around worshipping the King. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Verse 15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ. Notice that. Our fragrance is first to. We are to God. The fragrance of Christ. You see, there's a fragrance of worship to God and there's a fragrance of diffusion to everyone else around us. And so our life flows out of worship to God. Love. It's a loving life. It's not forced, it's unforced. It's the unforced rhythms of God's grace that we receive and just spills out over our lives. Worshipping Him and releasing that to other people. So part of our 2020 vision, I don't know whether we've already passed this, but 2020 vision, 7 years from now, is a church of hundreds of people rooted in Christ, growing in faith, abounding in thanksgiving, and releasing his life all over the city of Edinburgh. That's what we see. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Amen. Because Jesus is more serious about that than we are. I'm so glad about that. We don't need to crank this up. You know, kind of white knuckle. No. We live the life. Yeah. We enjoy the ride. Because it's his life through us going out. Secondly, Christ-centered. Christ-centered. We want to be a Christ-centered church. Now you say, well, that's obvious. The church we see is a Christ-centered community who put Jesus and his kingdom first in everything. Now, folks, that's not natural for any of us. But when we have a revelation of who Jesus is, like Andrea was reading out of that scripture in Titus this morning, the revelation of what Jesus has brought us out of, the revelation of who he is and what he's done for us on the cross, his utter kindness and grace towards us, and the revelation of his holiness, we are changed. And until we are changed, we have not received the life. But when we are changed and receive the life, that revelation becomes a revolution. And suddenly, it's no longer Malcolm, me, I'm no longer an I specialist. I is blasted off the throne of my heart. And I say, Jesus, I give you life, my life, my heart, my everything. Come and crucify I and live in my place. Paul puts it like this in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. He said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, in my body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a fantastic verse that is. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know the reality of that truth in your life? It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He is now on the throne of the heart. He is now center stage, and my life doesn't revolve around my needs, my preferences, my circumstances, my conveniences, my wants, my desires, but it's about him. His will, His wants, His purpose, His desires. That's what it means to live a Christ-centered life. Individually, and as a church, we want everything that we do to be centered around Jesus. There's a fantastic scripture in Colossians chapter 1. And maybe the guys at the back can just put it, hold it for now. I'm going to come to it just now. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read a few verses from there just now. It talks about the supremacy of Christ, that He's the head of the church, that He's the express image of the invisible God, that He is the creator of all things, that everything comes from Him, and everything is for His glory. You see, it's all about Jesus. And so here our vision as a church is to be a people where Jesus is central, relationship central, where Jesus is central in our worship, in our words, conversation, in our works, in our witness, and in the wonders that happen in our community. So let's just pick one or two of those out. Jesus is central in our worship. And you know, it was a great time of worship this morning, wasn't it? Just worshiping the King. And that's what we want. Every time we come together, it's about Him. You know, the last book of the Bible is not all about earthquakes and famines, and it's called the book of Revelation. You know, talking about the end times. And it does talk about all of those things, about the signs of the times. You know, but the last book of the Bible, it's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you read through that book of the revelation of Jesus, you'll see that actually what it talks about is that He is King over all earthquakes, over all famines, over whatever happens on our earth. He is King, and He's coming back again for His people. That's what it's about. And worship is simply saying, Jesus, You are worthy. It's worship. You are worthy. And so, you know, quite regularly we say to the musos and the guys involved with music, let's make sure that we're singing songs about Jesus, that His name's in there, because He's the Lord of all, that we're lifting Him up, that they're not just songs that are describing something of our feelings about Him, but they're songs that are ascribing the attributes of who He is. We want Him to be central. Central in our words. Conversation. I heard a great story a while back about a church in Seattle, which is led by Mark Driscoll. And they had a newspaper reporter who came in from the local press, and he interviewed various people who'd come into the church and been saved. Their lives had been changed by the gospel. And they all came from different backgrounds, different spheres of life, different ages. But he edited quite a lot of what they said, as newspaper reporters tend to do. But what was amazing was the most common word that came across, both in the reports that the reporter received and also what was published in the newspaper, was the name of Jesus. That came, conversations, they just kept coming back to Jesus. Not just the church, not just the community, not just what happened, I'm different, Jesus. Jesus. I met Jesus. Jesus has changed this in my life. It's a good challenge for us, isn't it? Both in our community here, when we have coffee afterwards today, and as we go out into the marketplace and we're seeking to introduce people to our Savior and our King, keeping Jesus central in our conversations. Without Jesus, friends, there is no church. I don't know about you, but if I take my head off my body, there's no life in the body. Take the head off the church, there's no life in the church. He's the head of the church. He said, I will build my church. He's the builder of the church. Paul says in Ephesians 2, verses 18 to 20, or 19 to 22, He says that Jesus is the cornerstone, the foundation on which the church is built. Yeah, He's the owner, He's the builder, He's the cornerstone, and He's the head. And so we keep him central. We want to be a Christ-centered church. Thirdly, family. The church we see. Psalm 68, verses 5 and the first part of verse 6 says this. It's a beautiful verse. The preceding verses talk about extolling God, who is eternal, and praising him. And then the psalmist goes on to say, he's a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. And then there's a beautiful phrase, God sets the solitary in families. Isn't that beautiful? That God, who is eternal, so beyond us, whose holiness we do not even have a slight grasp on, yet he reaches down in love to us, and he sets those who are apart into his family. God loves, there's the idea of adoption. He chooses people and he adopts them into his family. Friends, we want to be a family church. The church we see, firstly, reflects God by being a warm, caring, honouring and hospitable community. It's where we accept each other as we are, and we desire to see everybody coming into the fullness that God has for them. We encourage everyone to live in the full potential that God created them to be. You know, if you look around this room again today, you know, there's such diversity. Such diversity. And we need to glory in it, because this is what family is about. Yeah? Yeah? Different ages, different cultures, different giftings, different abilities, different hair colours. Some no hair, some lots of hair. Yeah? We're all different. And there's a glory in that, friends. Friends, God didn't make anything uniform. Yeah. He didn't make square bricks. Those were made in Egypt. God is a God of who made a universe. What does that word universe mean? It means there's a unity to it, oneness, it's one, but there's such variety. He's the God of the universe. He's the God of unity and variety. And the Trinity represents that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one and yet such variety. It's a community where they honour one another, love one another, respect one another, are hospitable to one another and glorify one another. They build away from themselves. It's a selfless community. It's an other-centered community. And friends, that's incredibly, all of this vision is incredibly challenging for us, because it's not natural for the natural man. But when we come into a relationship with this great God, he gives us love for others. In a fresh way. It's called agape love. It's the God kind of love. It's a love that's willing to sacrifice. It's a love that husbands are to have for their wives, lay down their lives in marriage. It's a sacrificial love. It's a selfless love. It's a serving love. And that's the kind of community and the kind of family we want to be. And I stumbled across this letter last night in one of my old journals, which somehow appeared in the kitchen. I'm not sure how it landed in our kitchen, but I was just browsing through it. Do you remember, some of you might remember Janija. She was a student. A number of students have come across come through the church over the years. And Janija was a student from India. And I'm just going to read a bit of this letter, because it describes this scripture so well about being part of God's family. She says, when I left India, finding a good church was constantly in mine and my family's prayers. And I thank God for showing me the direction to 3CI. I've been to quite a few churches before, and trust me, I have truly enjoyed 3CI the most. For once I felt that church was more than just a Sunday gathering. It was more of God's family. The close bonding that I've had with many of the members, I can't say I have had before. The Alpha course, home groups, Sunday worship, and the church camp has brought me to another level of relationship with God. I consider 3CI to be one of the best things that happened to me in Edinburgh, and sometimes I feel that the main reason God brought me here was not to do my master's, but to meet you all at 3CI. Friends, this is the core of what our church is about. It's family. The second part of that is the church we see is a healing community where individual lives and marriages and families are restored and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Jesus started his mission or his ministry in Luke chapter 4? He started with this statement. This was like his mission statement. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God," he quoted from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Verse 3-4 says, "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness or depression, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Beautiful, beautiful. And that was Jesus' mission statement. And friend, that's the vision that we see, is lives being restored by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say in verse 4, have you got that, Gareth? "When people's lives are healed and restored by the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit," this is the incredible thing, "is they themselves who have been healed go out and heal others." You see, hurt people, if they stay hurt, will hurt more, hurt people. Offended people, if they stay offended, will offend other people. But if we receive healing from Jesus Christ and deal with those offenses and those hurts, we can be made whole and go out and make other people whole. Yeah? And the Bible says is that those who are restored, they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. I love that. And we've had the privilege of seeing in years in ministry of lives that have been dysfunctional, come from poor family backgrounds, maybe lack of a father figure, dysfunctional socially, dysfunctional sexually, dysfunctional in different areas of life. Coming into a community of God's people, encountering the presence and the love of God's people and the power of the Holy Spirit, and young people who we've had the privilege of just seeing their lives changed. Young people now in the church that we previously led, now leading worship. Young people now leading churches beyond that in other locations. Lives transformed. Marriages that were broken through unfaithfulness and adultery. We've seen God bring husband and wife back together as there's been costly forgiveness. Because forgiveness is not easy and it's never cheap. But where a husband or a wife is willing to come and say, "I forgive you for your unfaithfulness," to come to that place, and it may take time. And when we've seen this in our lives, it has taken time. But the process, as they're willing to go before God, lay everything down before the Lord, and husband and wife come together, it's the most beautiful thing you can witness. God restoring a marriage. families being made whole again. And we've seen that over many years. And 18 years on, I think of two marriages that were blown apart through adultery. Both those marriages, in the time that we were there, in a space of 6 months or so, there was restoration in both those marriages. And both those marriages are strong 18 years later. The children are serving God going forward. Friends, that's what we want to see. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Healing the brokenhearted. Setting the captive free. Releasing those people who are bound up with guilt and unforgiveness and bitterness and hurt. Jesus comes to bring freedom to our lives. Yeah? And the amazing thing is, when he does that, we go out and we build, we raise up, and we repair other people's lives. And we've seen something of that in the time that we've been in Edinburgh as well. We live in an incredibly fragmented culture, don't we? Single-parent families, people crying out for family. There are tens of thousands of people just in our city who are crying out for to be part of a community where they are cared for, loved, where they feel they belong. This is why we are to be a family church. And the last part of family is the church we see has strong children and youth ministries where young people are trained, empowered, trained in God's word, empowered in the Holy Spirit, in their walk with Christ, and for their future call. And Sean and Mary Lee are going to touch a bit more on that shortly. But wasn't it great to see a few weeks ago Aaron getting baptized? You know, when Mark and Genevieve and Chunhei were baptized in July, and we all stood around the pool there at the back, and we said, "Is there anybody else who would like to be baptized and follow Jesus?" And Aaron put his hand up. I see it's his birthday coming up soon. He's turning 9. Is that right? Yeah. So he's just about 9 years old. And the following Sunday, he was baptized. And as he stood in the pool, there was prophetic words, scripture, being spoken over his life from different people, almost like father figures. Levere, myself, Gareth. There was others who had words for Aaron. But friends, that's what it's about. We see children being impacted by the power of God. And their lives being radically changed and being influencers in their schools now and being prepared for their future call. And then it was the week after that, we had three young Dutch folk with us, two guys and a lady in their early 20s who were with us for the weekend. And Roy had a prophetic word in the meeting about praying for young people. So we got all the young people up at the frontier. Do you remember? And all the church came, we prayed over them. And there was just some powerful God moments as God spoke, as God encountered them. And I just want to highlight one. There were many. One of the Dutch guys who has done started university last year and has done a year in chemistry. But he's very gifted in the area of music and leading worship in the church in Holland that we're in partnership with, the church in Voorthuizen. And one of his guys who's like a mentor in his life, Rob, had encouraged him to pursue the dream in his heart in terms of doing music further at university or college. But he felt to kind of play it safe a bit and go with the chemistry. And Roy had a word for him about he's been encouraged, exactly those words. He's been encouraged by a mentor to go after something. And you need to sort of revisit that. And he was in tears because his sweet spot, if you like, is playing a guitar, playing music. And as God just began to speak to him, he just sort of broke into his life. Well, he went back to Holland, made inquiries, and he is now auditioning at the end of this month to go into a music course at university.
He got in by one day.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he only got in to be accepted for the audition by if he'd been one day after that, it would have been too late to even get into the audition stage. He got back on the Monday, phoned them, I think, on the Tuesday, and if he'd left it till the Thursday, he would have been out. But God spoke on the Sunday. He responded to what God said. God had already been speaking to him about this in the days that he'd been in the UK. And now we're trusting God that God will open up the doors. And that will be part of God's plan. Not just for his career, but for his ministry, his life. Friends, isn't that exciting? I'm just using those examples. I'm freewheeling a bit this morning. But that's we see children like Aaron. We see young people like that young, like Timo. We see God impacting lives in Edinburgh and in Europe. That's what we see. And he's already doing it. Let me come into land. The last bit then is the gospel transforming lives for good in Edinburgh and beyond. The church we see, let me just read this. The church we see equips all believers to release their unique God-given abilities in ministry and mission, both and. Everybody has a sweet spot. You have been gifted uniquely with unique, specific, God-given talents. Such a joy to come back here after holiday. And as I walked in the door, I heard the musos practicing. I thought, wow, that sounds different. And as I walked in, I saw this Rolls-Royce engine on the on the table at the back there, this new 34-channel, whatever it is, mixing desk. And, you know, old speakers that have been taken out of storage and everything kind of rejigged. And I thought, Reg has been around here. And Gareth. See, you know, Gareth's pointing to Reg. You see, when a person lives in their sweet spot, he doesn't do it for himself. The purpose is not just for himself, it's for the benefit of all. That's it. It's for the benefit of the whole church. It's what Paul talks about in Corinthians, and it's for the glory of God. We want to see everybody equipped to live in their uniqueness every day of their lives for the glory of God. And then the church we see actively partners with other local churches in the city and the nation to reach Edinburgh and Scotland with the gospel. 3CI is not it. 3CI, we are part of the whole church in Edinburgh. When God looks at Edinburgh, he sees multiple congregations across the city of which we are a part. We are a very important part. And what I'm talking about this morning is our vision as a local church. But we must see also that we are partnering with others in the city. So how are we doing that practically? We're partnering with other churches in a mission thing called Healing on the Streets with 8 to 10 other churches every Saturday. We're partnering with the Vineyard Church and doing certain things together with them. Charles and Jan and Reg and Val were at the Vineyard Church last week in Edinburgh, helping them with their worship and with the sound. We want to do more of that. That's what we're about. We're partnering with others. And let me just give you a scripture, and I won't read it. Jeremiah 29, 4 to 7. What is it? Jeremiah 29, 4 to 7. You all got it? Jeremiah 29, 4 to 7. Go and read it this week. We're going to pray about that on Thursday night at Magnify. Jeremiah 29, 4 to 7. It's an incredible scripture that talks about wherever God places you. He said the people who were in exile, sent from Jerusalem to Babylon, he said, when you are there, I know you don't want to be there, but you are there. And now that you're there, settle down, put your roots down, get married, have children, let your sons find wives, so it's multi-generational, build houses, build vineyards, plant vineyards, eat the fruit thereof, and pray for where you are. And as you pray for that community in that city, you in turn will be blessed. That's got to be our heart for this city of Edinburgh. That we love Edinburgh. I mean, it's not difficult to love Edinburgh. Come on. But we love the people of Edinburgh. across the city, and we love being here. We don't grumble and complain about the traffic or the fact that there's so many people at festival time. We love being in this city. It's a vibrant, pumping city. Beautiful architecture. Beautiful people with an international flavor. We're not here by accident. We're here to reach the nations. The nations are coming here too. It's beautiful. We pray for the city. We serve the city. We work in the city. We engage the city. And then finally, we see a church that is a base church with the heart attitude and resources to send people out to strengthen existing churches and to plant new ones. Like this church, with our vision and values, in Scotland and the nations. So it's catching God's heart that's the key thing, friends. Sean was at a family in Blairgowrie last week. We're going to be ministering in Dundee and Aberdeen over the next few months. And we want to take people with us. Because God wants to work through you in blessing people in other places. You know that God said to Abraham, one man who stepped out in faith, but one man that God called, he said, through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And if you read your Bible, you'll find that that happened in Genesis chapter 12. And in Galatians chapter 3, you see that the fulfillment of that was when Jesus Christ came, died on a cross, gave his life for the whole world, and made a way for us to come into a relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are now heirs, through Jesus Christ, of all that God promised to Abraham. And we have the privilege, both individually and as a church, being a blessing, not just to this community, but in regions beyond, and even to nations. You think, how can that happen? Even from small beginnings? Absolutely. Abraham was one man. He believed the promise, and he stepped out. It was an act of faith. When you plant a church, it's an act of faith and obedience. You sow a seed. When God gives you a vision for a project and he says step out, it's an act of faith. Reg had the vision shared in a life group. Others caught it about the wee scone, the cafe. We step out, it's an act of faith. God brings the fruit. Yeah. We live this life by faith. How do you fulfill a vision? By stepping out in faith. There's no other way, friends. You cannot separate vision from faith and obedience. Those two things make a vision a reality. Otherwise, it's just a pipe dream. But I shared last week that from the church that we led in South Africa over 9 years, and it's been going another 9 years since then now. When we took on that church, there were 20 people. And there's been many people in that church over the years. And there's been many people sent out of that church over the years. And that church has touched 4 continents. Europe, America, Australia, and Africa. And one of the reasons that has happened, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons is that we've preached this. Just preach the word. That's probably the primary reason, actually. We preach God's word. And God's word says that, go. Thank you, my wife said. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And it doesn't matter what the size of a church is. The thing is a heart attitude to send, to serve, to give, to pray for, and to go. So I want to finish there. And I wonder, Gareth, could you just, I want to just sort of put up some faith goals. Why don't we just all stand, take a deep breath in. Okay, just kind of just shake around a bit, just kind of shake off the dust a bit. And okay, and then we can just sit down again quickly. Gareth, can you put up for me those faith goals?
Great. You can.
All
right. Okay. Here are some faith goals for 2000. Well, for this next 12 months. Okay, as we hit a new calendar academic year. Number one, growth and development in the WeScon Cafe. We're trusting for somebody to come along who will manage that. We want to see. We're believing that more baristas are going to be trained, and this machine, if you like, of the tool for reaching out to people and blessing the community is just going to be well oiled and grow. Secondly, we're believing that a fully fledged mums and tods group is going to start up potentially on a Friday with the WeScon, and we'll call it the WeScon Mums and Tots. We're trusting God for a visionary person for that and a core group of people. What else are we going to do in the next 12 months? We're going to do some fresh marriage, parenting, and budgeting and life skill courses in the community. And in addition to that, we're going to train trainers. We're going to train people to do those courses. So it's not just one person doing them, but we're training others to do them. We're looking at employing an administrator part-time from the beginning of October. Are we there? Okay. That's exciting. Yeah. We're going to employ somebody to do the administration. You know, friends, as a church develops and grows, there needs to be just a release of resources. And people need to play to their strengths to release others to play to their strengths. Yeah. And so we're looking at bringing on Amanda part-time to do administration for us from the beginning of October. The drama team. Man, we're so gifted in that area. We've got Charlie, we've got Ali, we've got Amanda, we've got Gareth, we've got Lorna, we've got others. And Dee is so excited. Dee's already got the Christmas play sorted. So, yeah. Charles is so relieved. Yeah. So, you know, we've got a lot of drama in this church. So we're going to release the drama out there. Part of the faith goals in the next 12 months is to see the drama team going out to other churches, doing their stuff. I mean, the one that they did at Easter was so high quality, really. The gospel is spoken through that. And so we see the drama team going out, ministering to other churches, fun days, schools, streets, etc. Next one, increase partnering with, helping of other churches. I've talked about that in Edinburgh, Scotland and Europe. Next one, doubling our compassion meals for the poor and the homeless. We want to make a greater impact into the poor in our community. We do, friends. Preach the gospel to the poor. Share God's kindness with the poor. So we're going to look at doubling. Reg doesn't know this yet. So I'm putting my hand up. I'm going to be there this time. Okay. Hey. That's prophetic for 20 years from now. We're going to double our compassion meals for the poor from 2 to 4 in the winter months. Discipleship. We're trusting to see. Okay. All right, no problem. I'll just take it from where you are. Greater use of the facility in the week. Just leave it as it is. Greater use of the facility in the community in the week. Senior citizens, lunches, conferences, birthday parties. If your child's got a birthday and you want to invite scores of people, use the facility. Absolutely. It's standing empty most of the week. Let's use it. Hospitality. We're going to be hosting the National Leaders' Time again in February here. Let's put our faith out for some international stuff, some concerts. We've had somebody who's approached us saying they want to do a concert here. What about it being a festival venue for next year? Who knows? We dream. Okay, next one's Gareth. Music team. More teams, musos and leaders help other churches. That's something that's already happening. We see more of the same. More life groups in other parts of Edinburgh. New leaders being raised up. Yeah, that's That's our heart. That's God's heart. Mm-hmm. Let's step in. Let's step forward. Let's make ourselves available. And let's see more of that into the community. All right. And then youth ministry and children's ministry. I'm going to hand over to Sean and to Mary Lee just to give us a snapshot of, like I've done now, of just some of these other faith goals in the youth ministry, faith goals in the children's ministry for the next 12 months. Is Mary Lee in the mum's room? Yeah. You there, Mary Lee?
Yeah. from youth or children's ministry, youth-wise, we've got great faith goals for what God wants to do into the future with the youth. And one of them is to see our youth grow into the full potential that Jesus Christ has for them. Mm. So we're launching a new name for our youth that we're quite very excited about, and it's called Regenerate. And I went and looked at the word regenerate that comes out of Titus 3:5, and that word is new birth, reproduction, renewal, recreation. But the thing that caught my attention was this: the production of new life concentrated to God. And that is exactly what it's about for me, is to make sure that every decision, every step that a young person takes is there to come closer to Jesus Christ and for God's life to be released into his sphere, school, workplace, and whatever they are involved in. So that is our heart. We have four main emphases that we as, and that's including Jenny and Mary Lee and myself and the leadership of this church. Our heart is for them to get equipped, to be discipled, and for them to give like normal life skills, how to live it out there. And that's how we try to cover this thing, by doing Youth Explore on the Sunday. Every Sunday they go out with Jenny or myself. Another thing is through fellowship, having good, fun social times together. And then we also do stuff socially, in a sense where they go to concerts, which, like with Jesus Culture, we're going to do. And then our big thing is the Holland trip, that we want to take guys out into the nations. So that's for us, biblically wise, we want to just try to keep to those lines. And that's our heart. So as a youth ministry, we don't want to lead this thing. We want to do this thing together. And that's our heart, you know, to see these guys go further and stronger and harder than we could ever go. So, yeah, just that's basically the bottom line. That was 2 minutes. Mary Lee.
Just excuse me, I'm always nervous talking in front of people. I'm quite excited about what God wants to do through the Kids Zone. A while back, I was doing some planning, and I really felt that these kids, we want to launch them into being a Jesus generation. Kids that serve him passionately. And as a mom, you get more emotional when you see kids. So our big desire is to see the kids grow in their relationship with God and meet him at a very young age, so that they don't have to go through all the things we necessarily went through. But we want to gear up the Kids Zone space. So we've got some plans in action, and we're going to kick it off soon. But we want to create a space for the older kids first. So we're going to get some shelving units set up and get some new desks in and get some equipment. So I know that's a big faith goal, but God will provide. So we're going to set up some TVs and DVD players, set up a worship area. The younger kids are more geared, but we're going to get more tables and chairs, which are age appropriate. So we're very excited. And last night I was doing a bit of sums, and it came to a bit more than I expected. But God will provide. And it's not something we're going to do in 1 month. We're going to see it grow. And we're preparing for kids coming in. And that's the big thing. We're trusting God for a harvest of young souls. And they will bring in their parents too. So the rough estimate is between £800 to £900, but that's very rough, and we know God will provide. But we want to see the parents journeying with us, and that's why we're also going to set up a curriculum table where everything will be laid out for what we're going to do in the next 3 months in curriculum, and we'll go on from there. So if you're a parent and you've got any questions, please come along and we'll explain everything to you, and we might invite you around a couple of times to come and see what we do. And we also kick off each kids' zone time at 11 o'clock. We have 20 minutes of worship with the kids. We're going to get some instruments and set things up and gear them for a life of worship.
We're heading in the next 12 months, and I'm just going to finish off with that mission statement again of Jesus. But in the Message Bible, it says... And I'm going to put, instead of saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I'm going to say he's upon us. It says, God's Spirit is on us. He's chosen us to preach the message of good news to the poor. He sent us to announce pardon to prisoners. Maybe we can just take that out, Gareth, sorry. And recovery of sight to the blind. To set the burdened and the battered free. To announce this is God's year to act. I like that. This is God's year to act. Let's just stand together, shall we? And Mary Lee finished off with a bit of a costing there on the kids thing, about £800 to £900. We've got this mission gift day in 3 weeks' time on the 1st of September. And... Man, it'd be great if we had a couple of £1,000 that came in there. We're going ahead with these things anyway, yeah. You know, because we believe God has spoken. But, yeah, we know that where God guides, he provides. Where he gives the vision, he gives the provision. And, friends, this is a great opportunity for us to pull on the oar together more to see Jesus Christ's name going out into our city. And this is God's year to act. Father, we just thank you. For your vision. We thank you for your life. And yeah, Lord, we want to right now again just bow the knee to you, Jesus Christ, and say it is all about you. We thank you that you are such an amazing and awesome God in your guidance, in your provision, in your miraculous way that you change lives, you restore marriages. You lift up the poor. You bring people out of addictions and bring us all out into a spacious place. We thank you for the preparations that are taking place for new families coming in, Lord. We thank you for an expectation. We thank you that we have a great expectation because you are a great and awesome God. And Lord, I thank you that what you said, even a cup of water given in your name does not go unnoticed. And Lord, I thank you that every prayer, every song sung, every chord struck, every work of service, every pound given, every stride taken forward in availability and ministry adds weight to what you want to do through us into the community. And I pray, Lord, that we would go out this week and be your free samples to Edinburgh. Free samples of your fragrance. Free samples of your life. Free samples of your mercy. Free samples of your kindness. Free samples of the agape love of God. That sacrificial, unconditional, giving love of God. Come and change my life, Lord. Come and change our lives, that we would be your healing community and seeing many lives saved, restored, forgiven, ransomed and healed by the power of Jesus. We thank you for that in your wonderful name. Amen. 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 Let's enjoy some fellowship together, friends. It's tea and coffee.